Hello and welcome to Flyers Rights News Podcast. My name is Kendall, and with me today is Paul Hudson, President of Flyers Rights. Paul, last week the White House followed Flyers Rights' lead in requiring masks on planes. What kind of power, extra power, does this give to flight attendants against anti-mask passengers?
Well, first of all, it not only gives flight attendants more power, but it regularizes the whole process. We don't leave it up to the airlines to voluntarily ban smoking. We don't leave it up to the airlines to voluntarily require you wear a seatbelt. And if you don't do these things, to punish you putting you on a no-fly list. So in every other area, we have safety rules. They have the force of law. And if you don't do these things, you can be fined. It's not up to the airline or the flight attendant or an airport to decide what the penalty will be. That's determined by the government and ultimately by a court of law.
Okay. Also last week, the U.S. Appeal Court denied Flyers Rights' request to reground the MAX. Can you talk about that and why the FAA won't disclose secret data it cited to unground the MAX?
Well, we filed two cases against the FAA based on legal challenge to their longtime policy of keeping everything secret when it comes to major safety decisions. In this case, as everyone the 737 MAX was found to be safe by the FAA when it certified it back in 2016 and 17. Then in 2018, there was a crash caused by some software going haywire on the plane that killed everyone on board in Indonesia. 5 months later, there was another crash with the same scenario in Ethiopia. A total of 346 people lost their lives. And the plane has been grounded since March of 2019 in order for there be time for this problem to be fixed, if it can be fixed. Now, in October, we filed a Freedom of Information request to the FAA to disclose the documents that they intended to rely upon for ungrounding the MAX. They ignored the request. So then we went to court in December of 19. And the court ordered, after some discussion, that they should reveal and disclose 80 documents consisting of about 18,000 pages. And they did this over the entire year of 2020. However, in order to evade any actual disclosure, they blacked out all but some inconsequential pages out of the 18,000 pages, making it impossible for independent experts and the general public to evaluate whether the changes proposed by Boeing and ultimately approved by the FAA made the plane safe. So then what happened in December, we filed another case appealing the ungrounding decision of November of 2020 by the FAA. Once again, the FAA did not reveal what the secret data was that was the basis for their decision to say for a third time that it was safe. They also, in effect, classified all the testing data, which is pretty unprecedented, so that pilots, experts, and the general public, passengers in particular, whose lives were be at risk, could not know what the real information is behind this decision. Because of this situation, putting passengers essentially in a life-threatening situation, we filed what's called an emergency motion for the court to stay the ungrounding while the appeal was pending to determine when and whether the information that the FAA has kept secret at Boeing's behest should be released so independent experts can evaluate it. In this, we had the support of at least seven major experts who all said the same thing, that without this data, no one can know if the plane is really safe. The court found that in a two-sentence decision that we did not provide enough certainty that we would prevail on the merits to permit them to do essentially an immediate injunction. So we're now into the second stage of that litigation, and the FAA has appealed, the FAA has filed a motion to dismiss on technical legal grounds, saying that our plaintiffs, who are all frequent flyers, as well as the organization Flyers Rights, should not have standing because they are not under an imminent threat of death. Assuming that motion is denied, however, the FAA said that they will release the secret data to our experts, and they want an accelerated briefing schedule so the whole matter can be decided probably sometime in March. So we are at the point now where two courts have before them decisions to make on these two cases. In the FOIA case, the district court has before it whether any of the information that the FAA has kept secret should be released. In the appeal case, the court has before it to decide whether the case can proceed by denying this motion for throwing the case out on the grounds of lack of standing. So I'm sorry to be so long-winded on that, but this is the current situation with that litigation. We believe that if this policy is able to continue, and it has been going on for a long time, of secrecy, it's likely to have an effect not only on the MAX, but in many other safety areas. And we have had some success previously with the same court, the Court of Appeals, that is, who in a 2017 case ruled that the FAA could not make a major safety decision, in that case involving whether smaller seats with larger people were still safe for emergency evacuation. In that case, they remanded it to the FAA, and the FAA was forced to release at least some of the data and emergency evacuation testing that they had otherwise kept secret. Okay. We'll see what happens here.
Recently, Canada lifted the grounding order on the 737 MAX. You said that Canada and India will follow the European Union's Aviation Safety Agency standard for ungrounding the MAX and not the lower but still secret FAA grounding standard. And the EU regulating body may be replacing the FAA as the new global standard for aviation safety. Has the FAA become irrelevant?
Well, they're not irrelevant yet, but they've clearly lost their standing as the gold standard for aviation safety. And what appears to be happening is other countries are now following the lead of the EU safety agency called ESA rather than the FAA. Now, there are other countries that are still following FAA. I believe Brazil is one, and there may be a number of others that will be coming online soon. But this is a major blow for the FAA and for American aviation generally. If most of the world cannot trust their judgment, and a large part of that we feel is because of their policies of secrecy. Now, that's not to say that the ESA agency is not secret also. And we still don't really know what the modification is that ESA has required, and therefore Canada and perhaps India and other countries are going to require. We believe it includes some increases in training and some other safety measures, like adding a third sensor. But they are also keeping that secret at this point.
So wearing a face mask will be federally mandated for air travelers in the U.S. thanks to a new executive order signed last week, a move pushed by the Flight Attendants Union and Flyers' Rights. Paul, can you expand on this more?
Well, we think it's a major step forward. It remains to be seen, though, what the details are going to be. As you know, we filed in August of last year a rulemaking petition for there to be masking. That was denied in October by the DOT, saying they felt that no regulation on masking was necessary. But the big thing, of course, is that under the Biden administration, that no regulation policy has been reversed. Well, as well as wearing masks in airports and on planes, there are other things that we think are needed. For example, social distancing is very important. And you cannot really do that on planes, but there are things that can be done to make it better than it is. One of them, we think, is leaving the middle seat vacant. In most planes, there are seats of three across and people are jammed together. Another one is to require more social distancing at airports. If anyone has flown in the last few months, you know that airports are often very crowded, especially at the gates. And I've personally gone on about a dozen flights in the last 6 months, and often the gates are fairly close together, especially when you get to the end of a concourse. And a lot of times planes are being scheduled to take off at almost the same time. This involves jamming hundreds of people together for as long as half an hour or longer. Clearly, that is something that needs to change. The cleaning of the planes is another thing that needs to be standardized. Right now, it's pretty much up to the airline, whatever they want to do. And also, we need to be sure that people are getting tested. It's been over almost a year now since the pandemic was declared. We did a survey back in March, I believe, of last year, asking our members and the public what they thought about having people tested before they get on a plane. And a great majority said that was very important for them to feel comfortable. We're now just beginning to see requirements for testing on international flights, whereas the rest of the world has been doing that for a while. We've recently seen data released by the government, which until now has been kept secret, saying there have been reports of people being exposed to COVID on at least 4,000 flights in the United States, and more in Canada and, of course, other countries. Air travel, of course, is the way that the pandemic quickly spread around the world back in 2020. And in order to keep renewed outbreaks from occurring, we feel there needs to be much stronger and more robust health, security, and safety measures. Another suggestion that we plan to make, and it's been brought up by others, is for TSA to be doing temperature and wellness checks, and perhaps for in certain circumstances, people to be required to have a negative test before they get on the plane. These things will probably take a little while to do. They're not going to happen in a few weeks, but they're really long overdue if we're to get a total handle on this. We're in the midst of a third wave with mutated viruses that are causing a death rate that is higher than it was even in the spring. So clearly that needs to happen. And hopefully the Biden approach will result in this, because not only was the previous approach of no regulation inadequate, it was also, I think, rather dishonest. Air travel, interstate travel generally, is solely in the jurisdiction of the federal government. The idea that states and corporations should be in charge of this is legally improper. It's inaccurate, and it makes no sense. States like Hawaii, for instance, who wanted to have strict quarantine measures, testing measures, were basically thwarted by the unwillingness of the federal government, especially the DOT, to do any regulations, whereas the state itself had no authority in this area.
The CDC has identified more than 4,000 flights where a passenger may have flown while infected with COVID, and Canada counts more than 3,000 flights. There seems to be no way to make flying super clean and healthy. Will there always be a risk?
I think that there will be a risk no matter what measures we put in until we get widespread vaccines and the panic pandemic basically dies out and hopefully ends. The idea.
Paul, what other measures do you think is important for health and safety on board?
Well, as well as wearing masks in airports and on planes, there are other things that we think are needed. For example, social distancing is very important. And you cannot really do that on planes, but there are things that can be done to make it better than it is. One of them, we think, is leaving the middle seat vacant. In most planes, there are seats of three across and people are jammed together. Another one is to require more social distancing at airports. If anyone has flown in the last few months, you know that airports are often very crowded, especially at the gates. And I've personally gone on about a dozen flights in the last 6 months, and often the gates are fairly close together, especially when you get to the end of a concourse. And a lot of times planes are being scheduled to take off at almost the same time. This involves jamming hundreds of people together for as long as half an hour or longer. Clearly, that is something that needs to change. The cleaning of the planes is another thing that needs to be standardized. Right now, it's pretty much up to the airline, whatever they want to do. And also, we need to be sure that people are getting tested. It's been over almost a year now since the pandemic was declared. We did a survey back in March, I believe, of last year, asking our members and the public what they thought about having people tested before they get on a plane. And a great majority said that was very important for them to feel comfortable. We're now just beginning to see requirements for testing on international flights, whereas the rest of the world has been doing that for a while. We've recently seen data released by the government, which until now has been kept secret, saying there have been reports of people being exposed to COVID on at least 4,000 flights in the United States and more in Canada and, of course, other countries. Air travel, of course, is the way that the pandemic quickly spread around the world back in 2020. And in order to keep renewed outbreaks from occurring, we feel there needs to be much stronger and more robust health, security, and safety measures. Another suggestion that we plan to make, and it's been brought up by others, is for TSA to be doing temperature and wellness checks, and perhaps for, in certain circumstances, people to be required to have a negative test before they get on the plane. These things will probably take a little while to do. They're not going to happen in a few weeks, but they're really long overdue if we're to get a total handle on this. We're in the midst of a third wave with mutated viruses that are causing a death rate that is higher than it was even in the spring. So clearly that needs to happen. And hopefully the Biden approach will result in this, because not only was the previous approach of no regulation inadequate, it was also, I think, rather dishonest. Air travel, interstate travel generally, is solely in the jurisdiction of the federal government. The idea that states and corporations should be in charge of this is legally improper. It's inaccurate, and it makes no sense. States like Hawaii, for instance, who wanted to have strict quarantine measures, testing measures, were basically thwarted by the unwillingness of the federal government, especially the DOT, to do any regulations, whereas the state itself had no authority in this area.
On that note, we will conclude. Flyers Rights website is flyersrights.org, and there's a Know Your Rights section in simple Q&A format, which tells you how to deal with problems that come up when traveling. We also have the only toll-free hotline, which is 877-FLYERS-6. And when you call that, you will get personalized advice on particular problems. We are, of course, always monitoring the FAA, DOT, and consumer issues. We file rulemaking petitions and are the only offense or defense that passengers have when it comes to air travel. So please support us, and thank you.